Corporation International Corporation versus Nitro Fluids LLC 2021-1183. Mr. Keble, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, the Board here erred by finding an ambiguous block diagram could anticipate specific claims that require a manifold, a plurality of fracturing trees, and a single rigid fluid conduit connecting each tree to the manifold. Tolman's blocks were intended to illustrate his invention, which was a way to sequentially stimulate multiple wells. Tolman did not care about nor disclose any form of connection between the manifold and the wells. Nitro should no more be able to argue, and the Board should not be able to rely on this block diagram of Figure 2 as showing a single rigid fluid conduit, any more than Cameron should be able to argue the pipe blocks don't show that fluid can flow because they have solid edges, or that the figure only discloses square Christmas trees. It is a block diagram, and it is not intended to show the specific connection. But anticipation, which is what Cameron raised, requires that a single reference describe the claimed invention with sufficient precision and detail to establish that the invention was in the prior art. Tolman's manifold has been colored six different ways by Nitro in order to make its arguments, ultimately ending with the green-colored drawing first seen on appeal, which Nitro now says is the accurate one. That's at their red brief at 14. But that completely destroys its institution position, which is at Appendix 132, because Nitro there said the manifold ended at the horizontal block right below number 208, but now says that all of the pipes are in the manifold, completely destroying that there is any connection. Nitro also admitted here for the first time that where the manifold begins and ends is somewhat arbitrary. That's their red brief at 18. So by definition, that makes the block diagram of Figure 2 ambiguous. If a claim requires a manifold and a specific type of connection, a rigid fluid conduit, only one rigid fluid conduit, in addition to the manifold, when Nitro says the manifold, where it begins and ends, is arbitrary, it must be ambiguous. And as a matter of law, yes.
Counsel, do you agree that for Figure 2, we're really looking to determine whether there's one fluid pathway between the manifold and each tree? That's kind of the portion we're focused on. Do you agree with that?
I agree in that what we're looking for is what's claimed, which is one rigid fluid pathway with rigid fluid conduit. And what you have here is a manifold 206 that includes a set of pipes 208, which is plural, and then pipes 203, piping 203, which is drawn exactly the same way and described as maybe high-pressure steel lines or low-pressure hoses. And then piping 228 is described as high-pressure steel lines, plural. And then Claim 49 uses the term piping interchangeably for the pipes in 206. So,
if that's kind of our focus, counsel, why would it matter if the rest of the figure had, like, blocks and the like? Because you've been making your block diagram argument. I just want to understand why the rest of it would be important.
Well, because the point is that the whole figure is just a block figure. It's not intended to show the specific structures, because Tolman didn't care about the specific structures. Just like 106 is a block, and that's a Christmas tree or oil field tree, 208 is a block, and that's described in multiple different ways as pipes. And it's unrebutted evidence that what was used at the time was these multiple smaller frac iron lines. And the invention was a specific connection that got away from the multiple frac iron lines. So at best, Tolman is ambiguous about whether it's disclosing one pipe or multiple pipes, steel lines or hoses, and that make up the manifold, and it's totally silent on how that manifold connects to the production trees.
And the case law, is it your view that, for example, valve 214, as shown in Tolman figure 2, is really representative of multiple valves?
It could be, because it talks about you could have multiple lines.
Well, so the problem is your argument is asking us to read a pretty straightforward-looking illustration as could be representing this, could be representing that. We're not really sure, but the board already made a fact-finding and just basically went with the illustration as is, and it's very hard at this point when it has expert testimony and took into the context the description in Tolman why we must say that that was just unreasonable and lacks substantial evidence. And that's really the challenge you have, is trying to convince us of that when the illustration shows us what it shows us.
Right, and where that falls, Judge Chan, I think, is that it's not really a substantial evidence question. The question is really, what's the proper legal standard for anticipation if you have a block diagram? The block diagram just generally projects a prior art system, and that cannot anticipate, if it's subject to multiple interpretations, a later specific invention. And there's unrebutted testimony that at the time, multiple lines were what were used. Both experts agreed that that was, at the time, what was used. And the reference itself, if you look within the reference,
If we were to agree with you that that was a block diagram, what's your best case that says that can't be used to anticipate? What's your best case on that?
Best case would be Meng. Meng had a diagram that was found to have exactly what was later claimed, but not used for the specific purpose of the invention, and also had two sections of the diagram in Meng, one with the offset slices, one not with the offset slices. And that's very similar to here, where we have a diagram that has pipes 208, which are undefined and maybe plural. They're defined as part of the manifold. There is no definition of the connection. And then we have piping 203, which is used interchangeably, and maybe high-pressure steel lines or low-pressure hoses. So much like Meng, where Meng had a diagram that could be read in two different ways, and they said that's not enough. You can't use the later invention and then look back and try and read it into what is claimed later. And that's exactly what happened here. Nitro, you know, trying to find something that disclosed the invention of a single line connecting the manifold and the trees, came up only with a block diagram. That was the best that they could find, and then using the invention, read that back onto. The other case I would point to is Wasika. Wasika is a case where the reference could be read two different ways, much like here, where the reference could be read multiple ways because it's a block diagram. And what this court said in Wasika is ambiguous references do not, as a matter of law, anticipate a claim. In Wasika, it was said that you could find it was constant transmission or non-constant transmission. And here, you could find that what is shown in 206 is one pipe, multiple pipes, hoses, flexible hoses, steel lines. You can look at it multiple ways. And at the time of the prior art, it's unrebutted that what was being used at that time were multiple lines. Hopefully that answered your question, Judge Cunningham.
You can continue.
Okay. So I think the Henry Meng case is binding precedent and should be controlling here. Just like the pathways are not defined here, if you look to the spec of Tolman, it says to couple, I'm reading from Appendix 1178 at paragraph 30, to couple the stimulation fluid pumping system 202 to the trees 106 A to C, the pumping system manifold is utilized. And then it says the pumping system manifold may include a set of pipes to interface with the trees. There is absolutely no reference to how the manifold is actually connected to the trees. Now, the way Nitro dealt with that originally in their petition was to say the manifold ended at the block shown right under 208. That was the end of the manifold. And now, here, after multiple times coloring it different ways, now colored everything green and said everything up to the trees is the manifold, which is an admission this can be read to say there is no connection outside of the manifold, but the claims specifically require a connection outside the manifold. So that gets us back, you know, to the Waseca case. It's an ambiguous reference. It can be read multiple ways, and it cannot, as a matter of law, anticipate. And that's really the question. You know, what would one of skill in the art at the time, without the benefit of Cameron's patent, have read looking at figure 2 of Tolman or looking at the spec? And it can be read so many different ways, as is evidenced in this case by its multiple colorings, and as evidenced by its spec and its use of piping, a set of pipes, high-pressure steel lines, low-pressure hoses. It can be read so many ways. So it's not a substantial evidence question. It's a question of, if you have a block diagram that's ambiguous or capable of multiple readings, as a matter of law, it can't be anticipation.
We can save the remainder of your time if you wish, Mr. Kevel, or you can continue.
I would save the rest of my time, Your Honor.
We will do that. Thank you. Is it Mr. Cabello or Cabello?
Cabello, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. First of all, I want to address Mr. Kevel's argument that the that there's unrebutted testimony that this cannot be a single line, and that's just not right. The record reflects that Mr. DeMong, at Appendix 1990, had a single line. So single line was clearly, I'm sorry, at paragraph 9 of Appendix 1990, DeMong clearly shows the use of a single line. So the record has evidence of use of a single line. Now, Mr. Kevel also talks about, well, you can look at this reference multiple ways. What Mr. Kevel has done is he has argued exactly that to the board. He has argued unsuccessfully that the board should look at Tolman to reflect something other than what it clearly reflects. Now, Mr. Kevel focuses only on figure 2 without looking at the specification. I think when you read the specification and figure 2, there is substantial evidence to support the board's determination that Tolman anticipates claim 1. Now, Mr. Kevel is also very critical about the various colorings. There has been various iterations of the coloring, but that's not because Tolman's teachings are different or because we're taking different views of Tolman. We offered a preliminary coloring of the manifold, and once we had the benefit of construction by the board, we offered one that was consistent with that construction. I don't believe that there's anything wrong with offering that second view. Now, Mr. Kevel also relies on Meng, and I'd refer the court to In Re Cramlett, which is found at 62 F. 2nd, 358. It's a 1932 CCPA decision. And in that, the court said, Cramlett does not stand for the broad proposition that any reference capable of more than one interpretation is not a valid reference. Mr. Kevel would have us believe that Cramlett stands, I'm sorry, that Meng stands for this broad proposition, when in fact a later court, specifically Cramlett, disabused us of that notion. Now, if I may proceed, I want to discuss very briefly this fluid pathways, because I think it's very important to focus on those fluid pathways, and we turn to the teachings of Tolman, where, just bear with me, Your Honor. Tolman talks about a single fluid or a pathway that is created by the opening of the valves 214, 216, and 218. So clearly, those valves are being opened to create a fluid pathway to each one of the trees. We believe that there's substantial evidence in the record to find that the board's decision is proper and that Tolman is an anticipating reference. Now, with respect to the fluid pathway that I just mentioned, at Appendix 1179, paragraph number 44, Tolman says, the main manifold valve 210 and the first manifold well valve 214 are in the open position, while the second manifold well valve 216 and the third manifold well valve 218 are in the closed position to create a first well flow path. Now, Tolman talks about a well flow path, not paths, but a single path. Clearly, what we have in Tolman Figure 2, thank you, Your Honor. I apologize for the interruption. First of all, I just want to pause momentarily to see if the court has any questions before I proceed.
No, counsel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a question, if that's okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
So your opposing counsel spent some quality time on this block diagram argument and then contended that really there couldn't be anticipation as a matter of law. Can you respond to that argument that they raised?
Yes, Your Honor. First of all, it's our contention, and we believe that it's fully supported by the record, that the block diagram is fully enabling for this particular invention, and particularly when it's read in light of the specification. There is no case law that we've been able to find that stands for the general premise that a block diagram in and of itself cannot be anticipated. And if you consider the teachings of the specification and Figure 2, you clearly establish a single line between the manifold and each one of the frac trees. Does that address your question, Judge Cunningham?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead and continue with your argument.
All right. Secondly, we believe that the court should affirm the invalidity of claims 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, and 17 based on Tolman. We'd also believe that the court should affirm the board's construction of factory, which is supported by substantial evidence. We believe that the court should reverse the findings of the non-obviousness of claims 11, 12, 13, 14, and 18 based on the board's determination that because Nitro did not anticipate claim 11, it didn't proceed to the obviousness analysis. We think that that is a legal error on the part of the board. And with that, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
We will save it for you, Mr. Cabello. Mr. Kevel.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. Couple of points. One is, counsel pointed when we talked about that there was unrebutted testimony that these can be read multiple ways. Counsel did what the board did in error and essentially flipped the burden. He put it on us to show that it cannot be a single line in Tolman, but that is not the case. It's their burden to show that it is unambiguously is a single line. They have to prove Tolman does not represent frac iron, and the point that was unrebutted is that it clearly does. That's what it discusses in the specification. So, Judge Cunningham, when your question was just asked and counsel said you must read Tolman in view of the spec. What the spec specifically says, and what I read in paragraph 30 at appendix 1178, is that the manifold is coupled to the trees. It doesn't say anything at all about any connection between the manifold and the trees, and then it just talks about the manifold being a set of pipes, and we've talked about how that is described. Counsel then pointed to DeMong and said, well, DeMong provides what you need, but that's an obviousness case that he didn't make. If he's going to rely on DeMong for proof, then he should have raised it as an obviousness case. What happened here is they made an anticipation argument only on Tolman and Sergimata, and then briefly said for claims 5 and 13, you can combine them for obviousness without any specifics other than the two vowels. And the reason they did that is because there would be a tremendous amount of secondary considerations that would have been brought in if they raised this as an obviousness case for the main claims. Because even Tolman, which isn't in the record, but if it was an obviousness case, it would have been evidence that Tolman, which is assigned to Exxon uses the Cameron invention. And then when he points to DeMong, what DeMong shows in figure 2 is clearly flexible lines, and it shows two lines. So what Tolman is showing is two lines going to the tree. And then if you go to the DeMong spec, DeMong at appendix 1991 at page 2, paragraph 20, it says the first flow line may be, for example, flexible hose, flexible metal line, formed rigid metal line, or other type of line used in hydraulic fracturing operations known as chick fan. So DeMong, even if you look at it, does not support the position they're arguing.
Counsel, in your remaining time, do you want to specifically address the cross-appeal claims 11 to 14 and 18?
Yes. There was no specific argument made to the board in the petition except for claims 5 and 13 in ground 3, and that is why the board, both in the institution decision and in the final decision, recognized that there had been no obviousness case put forward for those claims. The claims have not been addressed in any meaningful way down below, and they couldn't be because it wasn't in the petition. The other point I would make is on the cross-appeal on the manifold definition. The manifold has to, by definition, have the ability to direct the fluid to the multiple trees, to each tree. That's the purpose of the manifold, and the board made error in that. Now, if you agree with us that Tolman doesn't unambiguously disclose the one and only one rigid fluid pathway, you reverse and render. We'd like to correct the claim constructions, but you don't have to get there. If you disagree and it goes back, then it needs to be properly construed, both for frac manifold and frac tree, which frac tree was unrebutted as a specific type of tree, not a general Christmas tree. Both experts agreed, and that would be relevant to certain of the claims that specifically require a frac tree.
Thank you, Mr. Kevel. Mr. Cabello has some time on the cross appeal only.
Yes, Your Honor. With respect to the cross appeal, we don't believe that it's necessary to reiterate the limitations and the application of the art that was made. It was applied to Claim 5, and we pointed the board to that recitation and that explanation. The art applies equally. The claims pretty much map in the same way, and there's absolutely no reason that we can understand why the board didn't just apply the art, the claims that it rendered non-obvious. With respect to the frac manifold, we believe that the board erred in its construction of frac manifold because it inserted a valve. If you look at both the specification of the 800 patent and the abstract. It does not require a valve in the manifold. It provides for a valve, and the dependent claims recite both the outlet branches and the valves as additional limitations. Finally, with respect to the frac tree, we believe that that construction is proper. Both Tolman and the 800 patent use a frac tree to produce and to fracture a well. Those are the teachings of both Tolman and the 800 patent, and we don't believe that there's any claim limitations with respect to pressure, materials, weight of the tree. So the board construction with respect to frac tree is correct, and the frac manifold should be reconstrued so as not to include a valve. Mr. Kevel, let me just end by closing that Mr. Kevel refers to frac iron multiple times. There is no mention of frac iron in the 800 patent. There is no mention of frac iron in Tolman. The board considered the argument with respect to frac iron, rejected it.
Is this relevant to the cross appeal?
No, Your Honor.
All right.
And with that, we'll rest on the rest points on our brief.
Thank you, Mr. Cabello. We thank both counsel. Case is submitted. That concludes our arguments for today.
Thank you.
The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.